I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Let's read some verses from God's precious and God's holy word, reading from verse number 29. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading from verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record, and this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather around thy word this morning, and we ask of thee for the leading and guiding of thy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt speak to each and every one of our hearts. We think of every child of thine today. We pray that thou help us, Lord, to think of those words, He that winneth souls is wise. And, O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt give us a vision, for it also says in thy word, without a vision, then the people perish. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. We pray that thou wilt truly bless us and do us good in Jesus' precious name for his glory. Amen. As you know, we have been studying for a number of weeks now the qualifications, the credentials that are set down by the Spirit of God for the eldership and the deacons and committee members of our congregation. And yet, you know, sitting in this congregation, there are many people who did not feel that they should allow their names to go forward for either eldership or committee. And yet there is not one in this service is not to be usable in the service of the Lord. There are those who are in leadership as regards the eldership, those in leadership as regards this building and the work of God here, as regards the deacons. And yet every child of God is precious here. Every child of God is needed here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, Sam Houston, who used to go around our churches and was singing, before he went to Canada, Sam had an amazing statement. And I think I'm going to print it out and give it to each one sometime. It was this. If every one won one, and if every one won one, what a host of ones would be one if every one won one. Now you say that's very hard to follow. Well, when you write it out, you'll find that every one, that's O-N-E, one, that's W-O-N, that's to win somebody for Christ. If every single person won somebody else for Christ, and every one that has been won for Christ was to win somebody else for Christ, what a host of ones would be won. If every child of God put their back to the wheel and shoulder to the work to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thinking indeed of that passage we read a few moments ago in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, where the men were standing there, and the master of the vineyard said, "Go today, go ye work today in my vineyard." And of course, some went in the early hour, and some went in at the later hour, and even some joined in the 11th hour. But all that went in were found worthy, and the Lord rewarded them for their labors of love for the master. And you know, when the Lord calls each and every one of us to be soul winners, for he said, he that winneth souls is wise. And it says in the Word of God that we are to look on the fields, and we're to look at the harvest fields and see that they're ready for harvest. And then we're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Now, when we think about that in the harvest fields, we think of the region beyond. We think of the missionaries that go to the mission field, and thank God for those that have gone. But my friend, ye are my witnesses, says the Lord. And every child of God's a witness for Christ. And maybe it's not across the ocean that God is sending you. God's sending you across the street. Maybe it's just across the street God's sending you. Because there's somebody across the street that needs to hear the gospel. There's somebody across the road or up the road, friend, that needs to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, ye are my witnesses. Now, friend, there's not a chance of you going across the world if you're not willing to go across the street. And yet God calls each and every one of us to be his servants in the harvest field for him. I want us to turn to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, for a moment. And there are two verses I want to leave with you this morning, but then I'll set them first in context. And it's verses 41 and verse 42. And this is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 41, 42. He first findeth his own brother Simon. This is Andrew, findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And then it says this, and he brought him to Jesus. We have found the Messiah, he said, and he brought him to Jesus. We him says little as much when God is in it. Some years ago, the story is of Edward Kimball. Now, Edward Kimball was living in a city of Chicago, and not many people know about that name or know anything about Edward Kimball. But he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a man who had a burden for his Sunday school children of his class. And there was one of the young men of his Sunday school class that God really laid upon Edward Kimball's heart. And it was this young man that was a shoe salesman. He worked just as a shoe clerk. And he was really burdened for this young man to reach him, or rather in Boston, to reach him for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Edward Kimball had this burden. And one day, he used to walk him up and down past the shop where this young man was serving and doing his work. And then one day, he challenged him personally about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Edward Kimball had the joy of seeing that young man won for Christ. His name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became one of the greatest evangelists in the United States of America and won tens of thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, my friend, he would have won none except under God. God burdened a Sabbath school teacher for his Sabbath school student and sought to win him for the Lord Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody, some years later, crossed to England. And whenever he came to England, he was preaching there, and there was a person there called Frederick B. Myers, and he heard the message that was preached by D.L. Moody, but it didn't touch his heart much. However, one day, a Sabbath school teacher in Frederick Myers' church witnessed to the preacher, and he said, you know, the messages that man Moody has been preaching, you know, the girls in my class have been so moved that they're weeping, they're broken in heart. And they're repenting of their sin, and they're confessing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whenever F.B. Myers heard that, he said, listen, I must listen closer to him. And so he was so affected by the testimony of that teacher in his church that he went away alone, and soon Moody's messages touched his heart. And God took F.B. Myers and used him mightily. And then F.B. Myers was taken across the United States to Furman University, and he was preaching there. And there's a young student was listening as F.B. Myers was preaching. He was about to quit the ministry course and go back into secular employment. And as he listened to F.B. Myers preach that day, God really touched that young man's heart. He was R.G. Lee. He became an evangelist, a great evangelist in America too. Myers went forward and he went to another location in America. And then another young man was moved by the Spirit of God. That young man was called Billy Sunday, or rather Wilbur Chapman. And you know, friends, God used Wilbur Chapman. And God used him to be the means of speaking to Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was greatly used and became a great renowned evangelist and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice all the links in the chains, friend? Just everyone, one. And through those individual people, friend, do you know what happened? Hundreds of thousands of people, it is believed, in actual fact, it was into the millions, that people were saved through those number of people that I've just mentioned a few moments ago, were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, of every one. And that's exactly the story of John Gospel chapter 1. It's a story of a young man who went out to win somebody for Christ, having first of all met the Savior himself. And I want us to look at three simple things in this passage of God's Word that God will challenge your heart to be a winner of souls and go out and win somebody else, friend, because it's no secret what God can do through you. You say, but listen, but there's no great thing going to happen if I was to win somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was also reading this past week in the late 1800s and early 1900s. There was a great preacher who was called Alexander White. And he preached in a large church in Edinburgh. And during that time, there was a salesman by the name of Rigby who traveled to Edinburgh regularly just to hear Alexander White preach. And you know, God burdened his heart. And there were other businessmen that this salesman knew. And so therefore, he would invite businessmen under the sound of the Word of God. And, you know, reluctantly, some of them came, but they did come and listen to the Word of God preached by Alexander Wright. And then, one day, there was another person whom God touched Rigby's heart about, another businessman. And they asked him to come to the church to hear Alexander Wright preached. Reluctantly, he went. But that day, God spoke to that man's heart. He went back again that evening, and that night, that man gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. The next morning, Rigby was going through the streets of near where Alexander Wright, the preacher, lived. And he thought to himself, I must go and tell him what happened last night. I want to tell him to encourage the preacher that a person got saved in the meeting last night. And so Rigby went and he knocked on the door of the preacher's house. And he said, excuse me, sir, my name's Rigby. And I just want to tell you, last night I brought a young man to the meeting. I brought him yesterday morning. I brought him last night. And I just want to encourage you. I want to tell you, he got saved. He got saved and he came to Christ. You know, all of a sudden, Alexander White stood there and his mouth was opened. And he said, what's your name? He says, I'm Rigby, sir. But it doesn't matter who I am. He says, I want to tell you, but this person getting saved. He says, are you Rigby? He says, yes, I am. He says, you know, I've been looking for you for years. I've been looking for you for years. And he said, just hold on there. And he went into the preacher went into a study. And he returned with a bundle of letters. And as he returned with that bundle of letters, Alexander White opened the letters and he started to read excerpts from the letters. You know what it was? Telling him how that Rigby brought them to the meeting, and they had come to Christ. Those businessmen, down those years, he didn't know anything had happened. But friend, listen, God had it that God used through the invitation, the simple invitation of a young salesman. God used to be the means of bringing them under the sound of the gospel, and through the foolishness of preaching, many souls were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You say to me, could that happen to me? Yes, friend, it could. If you'd only be willing to be used. If you'd only be willing to go out and get somebody. That's what Rigby did. He simply invited people onto the gospel. And the Lord did the saving. And friend, let me tell you, little's much when God's in it. And I want you to see here, simply through this passage of God's word, how that God can use you. If you're willing to be used today, if you will yield yourself to the service of the Lord, and everyone one, and then every person that has been won to Christ were to win somebody else, what a host of ones would be won. If everyone one. Friend, what a difference would make. It would fill the seats, wouldn't it? If God's people had a desire to go out after souls and to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story is of a young man surrendered. And the story of Andrew here in this passage of God's word. There are three thoughts. First of all, notice Andrew, the person. Now, little is recorded in the word of God about Andrew, friend. He was overshadowed by his brother Simon Peter. 12 or 13 times Andrew's mentioned in the Bible, and yet 6 of those times he's just simply mentioned as the brother of Peter. That's all he gets. He's the brother of Peter. But the fact that he was less prominent in the work of God, friend, than his brother, notice it didn't bother Andrew. He wasn't out in competition with his brother. No. He was out seeking to serve the Lord. He stood in the shadows. Simon Peter stood in the limelight. In fact, if I were to ask many boys and girls to give me the names of the disciples, I'll guarantee Andrew wouldn't be the first name. Many people would not even remember he was one of the 12. He was there in the background. His father's name was Jonah, or Jonas, or actually John. John. He came from Bethsaida. And then at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find him, he's living with Peter's family. Peter's family in Capernaum. Now, Andrew was every bit a man, friend. He was a fisherman. His name means manly. He was a manly person. And so we find that he was from Galilee, a fisherman. He was just an ordinary person. I suppose the only famous thing about him was he was Peter's brother. Friend, let me tell you something. He was just an ordinary person. And yet God used him mightily. Maybe there's some people in this service this morning, you know, I haven't great talents. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not Peter. Do you remember Peter? He was the one that stepped out in the boat to walk on the water to go to Jesus. It wasn't Andrew. Do you remember it was Peter that took the sword, and whenever the servant came there, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be arrested, it was Peter who took the sword to protect Jesus and struck the ear of Malchus. It was Peter who confessed these words, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved that day. It wasn't Andrew, friend. It wasn't Andrew. And yet before Peter appears on the scene, who's mentioned first? It was just ordinary Andrew. Thank God for Andrew, friend, because let me tell you, had Andrew not witnessed to Peter about Christ, Peter would never have preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls had never been saved. But in the sovereign purpose of God, he did. Now, who was Andrew? Andrew, as I said, he was a son of Jonah, Jonas, John. He was a brother of Simon Peter. But before the Lord Jesus Christ ever appeared in the scene, he was a follower of John the Baptist. If you look there in John's Gospel chapter 1, look at verse number 19, John chapter 1. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. I am not that prophet. And he, art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. And so we find here that he has been quizzed by the priests and the Levites that were sent from Jerusalem. But you notice on down the passage of God's word, it says in verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. And one of those disciples was Andrew. One of those that were standing there that day was Andrew. He was a disciple of John. The other, of course, was John, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. John was the other person. You'll notice there's something about John. John never mentions his name in his book. As far as whenever he's speaking of himself, he says another disciple. For example, you find that throughout the passage of God's word, he speaks about another disciple, him whom Jesus loved, but he doesn't mention himself. Go to John's Gospel chapter 19, for example. Let me just give you an example of that. John never mentions himself. He's in the background. He's not raising himself to the forefront. He's always one that is standing in the background. Look in verse number 25, John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, that was unto John, never mentions himself. He's always in the background. But Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. In other words, he had an interest in the things of God. Even though he was a fisherman, he was one who took time out for the Lord. Now, we see here simply the person. Go quickly to the persuasion, because Andrew was a Jew. And as he listened to John preach, and as he heard John preach the word, and in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew was there that day. He had heard John speak about the promised Messiah. In actual fact, he had heard that the promised Messiah was actually not only imminent to appear, but he actually was present among them. Look at verse number 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He was actually standing among them, but they were spiritually ignorant concerning him. Verse 27, he says, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. You see, John was exalting Christ. He wasn't exalting himself. And then the next day he saw Jesus coming, and he cried out, behold, the Lamb of God. Andrew heard that. Behold, the Lamb of God. You see, the Pharisees were looking for a prophet. The people were looking for a king. But instead of that, John the Baptist presented a lamb. Because that was the very office and character which they stood in greatest need of. Oh, they would have accepted a king on the throne. But he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew heard that faithful witness. Verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God. And then go to verse 35, it says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John saith, behold, the Lamb of God, once again. And he's standing in the company of Andrew and John. Behold the Lamb. Look. Behold, look, fix your eyes upon the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's exactly what Andrew did that day. He fixed his eyes on Christ. He had been a disciple of John. But as John stood still and pointed to Jesus, notice this, and looking upon Jesus, verse 36, as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That day, Andrew was converted. That day, Andrew got gloriously saved by the grace of God. Up to that moment, he was attached to John. He had been baptized by John. He had been eagerly waiting for the Messiah. But as John pointed to Christ, it says this, and they followed Jesus. And friend, that was the day that his life was changed. And that has to happen in your life, friend. If you're going to be a witness for Christ, you first of all must know Christ. You must follow Christ. You must be saved by the sovereign grace of God. Now, notice what happened then. Notice what happened then. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is just being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? As they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, and the Lord Jesus Christ turns, because you see, no sincere soul ever seeks and follows Christ in vain. And the Savior turned to them, and they asked the question. He says, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? And they said, where dwellest thou? Now, friend, I want you to notice two things. First of all, what Jesus asked, what seek ye? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he knew there were these two men following him, he turned to them and he says, what are you seeking? What's your purpose in following me? What's your motive? Why are you following me? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that there were those that followed him simply because for the bread and the loaves. There were those that followed Christ simply for the miracles. They had different motives for following Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ asked them this question. Why are you following me? The Lord asked that to a group of people before, and this is what the Bible says. From that time, many of them went back and walked with him no more. But here these two disciples were following. What are you seeking? And they said, where dwellest thou? Now people say, what does that mean? Friend, that was not an idle statement or question. Where dwellest thou? And Jesus knew it. Because what they were saying to the Lord was this. Lord, we want to go with you. We want to dwell with you. We want to have fellowship with you. Where are you going? Do you long to have fellowship with the Lord this morning? Is that your earnest desire, to fellowship with the Lord? And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever they said, "Where dwellest thou?" Notice what Jesus answered. He says, "Come and see." He says, "Come with me." And this is what it says. They came and saw where Jesus dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They had uninterrupted fellowship with the Master. They longed for him. Come and see. But finally, notice the proclamation here. Because it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Notice what happened. So great was Andrew's satisfaction in Christ that he wanted to tell others. He wanted to share the good news. He was now acquainted with the Messiah, but he wanted others to be acquainted with the Messiah. So where would he start? It says he first findeth his own brother. He started at home. And friend, that's the hardest place. Home. Do you remember the demon of Gadara in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, whenever the Lord met him and the Lord changed his life? And he says, "Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Wherever you're going, I want to go." And the Lord says, "No, go home. Go home. And tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And that's exactly what Andrew did. He went home. Let me ask you a question. Does your family know you're saved? Friend, you started Jerusalem. You started home. And that oft times is the hardest place to witness for Christ. But friend, you've got to be willing to witness at home. And that's exactly what Andrew did. Whenever Andrew found the Messiah, he was filled with such happiness and joy. "We have found the Messiah." He went looking for his brother. His brother was his first priority. Do you remember whenever the rich man went to hell? And when he realized he was lost, in Luke chapter 16, in verse 25, it says, "Abram said, Son, remember, now he, Lazarus, is comforted and thou art tormented, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence." Then the rich man said this, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment." Even in hell, friend, the lost soul had a desire that his brothers would not go to hell. He had a love for the family. And I asked you before God, have you a love for the family? Is that your first love, friend? It says that Andrew first findeth his own brother. Now it says Andrew findeth him. It means that he had to go and look for him. I don't know where Peter was, but I'll tell you this, he was earnest. He was so filled with the joy of the Lord. He wanted to tell his own brother. And he first went to his own brother to tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Does your family know you're saved? Do you know that you've found Christ, friend? Or rather, you're found of Christ. That you're born again. You say, "But listen," they won't listen. Friend, let me tell you, your responsibility is not to save them. Your responsibility is to tell them. Because remember, only the Lord can save them. But have you told them that you have found Christ? We have found the Messiah, personally experienced the glorious meeting with the Messiah. But listen, friend, to find the Messiah was to find the Savior. You say, "How do I know?" Look what it says in the next verse. And he brought him to Jesus. That means Savior. Savior. Because the Messiah is the Savior. He brought him to Jesus. I know time's away this morning, but listen. Thank God Andrew took the time to lead his brother to Jesus. He not only told him, but it says, and he brought him. He brought him to Jesus. Have you brought somebody to Christ, friend? Have you brought somebody to church to hear about Christ? Have you a burden in your heart to see men and women saved? You see, before you can do that, you must have a personal relationship with Christ. And then when you have a personal relationship with Christ, then you get the right priorities like Andrew had. He wanted to win others to Christ. Ah, friend, he did something else. He put himself out to bring his brother to Christ. He came with him. And quite often the best way to get somebody to a service, friend, is to bring them. Not say, "You should go to church sometime. Why don't you come to church some night?" No, no, friend. "I'll go to get you. And you'll come with me." That's how God saved and worked and robbed our dear brother Armrod's in the glory now. He was a hippie in the Schenkel Road. And I went in to get chips in the chip shop, and there were boys standing there, and they started to mock me. I was standing in my clerical garb, and these boys started to mock me. And Robert, he was the leader of the gang, and he said, "No, that's it. Say nothing to the reverends." He followed me out to apologize. I said to him, "Robert," he introduced himself, I didn't know him. Well, I said, "Will you come to church?" He says, "I don't go to church." He says, "I've no clothes for church." I says, "I'll collect you on Sunday night." And I drove the whole way from Belfast, or from here to Belfast, to the Schenkel Road. And he was still in bed. And his father said to him, "Hi, Robert, there's a preacher down there. And he says you're going to church." And his father had no time for the gospel. He couldn't believe. But friend, Robert came to church. The Spirit of God worked in Robert's heart, and Robert got gloriously saved and became a winner of souls. He brought him to Jesus. Are you willing to do that, friend? Are you willing to help us to get the church filled by going out after somebody and bringing people personally under the sound of the gospel? He took the time. He put himself out. But he was so excited. I found the Messiah. I found the Messiah. I found the Christ. And he wanted his brother to find him too. And he brought him. He brought him to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'll give every one of your children back the excitement of loving Jesus and knowing Jesus. Thank you for the night, Lord, that you saved us and you brought us to yourself, and we're so excited. But, oh God, I ask in Jesus' name that thou will give us afresh that excitement and that joy. And give us that desire to be a winner of souls, to win souls for Jesus Christ, to bring them to Jesus. Oh Lord, realize that many are dying in sin today, and few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Oh God, touch my heart. God, fill my life. And give me souls today. Lord, if there's someone here this morning and they're not saved, may it be the means of, oh God, showing them they first of all need to know the Lord. They themselves need to be saved before they can bring somebody else to Jesus. But oh God, save today. Burden our hearts for the lost, that we might see men and women gloriously changed, as Simon Peter was. That day, Simon Peter was changed. For Lord, you give me even a new name. You're Peter, a stone. Bless us as we go to thy table. Help us to remember afresh the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.